The distinction is that we often think about gifts as abilities and enablements. And in a certain sense, that is true. But in this context, that's not what's being emphasized. What's being emphasized is the men are the gifts to the assembly for the purpose that they might instruct, model, be examples, teach, so that the whole body might be fitly joined and grow up together. So in this context, the gift are the men to the assembly who do these different things. There is apostleship, there's prophetic, there's and those are passed, right, because the assembly has been established upon the apostles and prophets.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But then you have the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers who continue that work, and that work continues today in order that the whole might be edified and built up.
And the Apostle Paul, we mentioned him several times, you know, it's a great example when he says, because he was given as an apostle to the assembly, but then he says, be ye followers of me, as I'm also of Christ. And another place he said, whatsoever you have seen and heard me, so do. You know, to be that example that others will follow. He says, you know, and God has allowed it to be printed in this book, that he said, you know, as you've heard and seen in me, so do. He was so close of a follower of Christ. Mm-hmm. And you see it in his life when you read. Yeah. That's a gift to the assembly. And this is something that given to us to follow and to imitate. As Ephesians 5 says, be ye imitators of God as dear children. And, you know, we got a wrong wrong sometimes imitations. 5 verse 1, it says, be ye therefore, in Darby's translation, imitators of God, which is the right word, not just follow us. Because imitation, say, oh, that's a cheap imitation. That's something that's not really like it, but it's supposed to be it. That's not what an imitation is. An imitation, or dictionary, is something that is as close as possible to the original. That's what that word means. And so, you know, we need to desire to be as close as possible to the original. And the Apostle Paul became an example to us of that.
To be clear, in verse 9, what is meant by ascension and his descension, if you please, he that ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? Is a question. The lower parts of the earth is not Hades. It must be clarified that it might be viewed as a valley. When the Lord Jesus descended, is referring to his incarnation.
Mm-hmm.
There's no thought here of his atonement or of his work on the cross. Some people try to suggest that he had to go to hell or Hades in order to suffer for our sins. This verse is not teaching that. And just to make a clarification, that when he descended to the lower parts of the earth, he's referring to his stoop. This would be concomitant with Philippians chapter 2. It says he was in the form of God, made himself not of no reputation, was made in the form of man. And being found as a man, the fashion of a man, he humbled himself. And that humbling, that step, was like what we have here, his descent to the lower parts of the earth. Not talking about Hades, it's talking about the uniqueness of his humiliation. His lowliness, his incarnation. And of course, the one who descended to humiliation was the one that was exalted in ascension, that he might fill all things. And presently, in heaven, he's the adoration of all. He's the one who's glorified there at the Father's right hand. Right hand speaks of a place of providence, a place of esteem. And that's where he is now. And so from that position of exaltation and glorification, he gave apostles. There are no apostles today. In order to be an apostle, you had to see the risen Christ. Mm-hmm. As far as we can tell, perhaps the last one to see the risen Christ was, I think, the Apostle Paul, perhaps. He said, I've seen things which are not to be uttered. And prophets, the apostle laid the foundation of the church, the truth of the church. Prophets, those are the ones who would speak forth the truth. You have evangelists and prophets here as well. There are still evangelists today. Mm-hmm. I think the old man was called an evangelist. I think it was called Philip the evangelist. Mm-hmm. But that does not mean that there were not others who were evangelists. Mm-hmm. And then we have pastors and teachers. It's interesting that these are all in the plurality. There's no such thing as a single pastor, a single evangelist, or a single teacher over a company of believers. This is all given to the body of Christ and has a purpose. The work of ministry, the word of ministry is really poor translation. It's not some ministry, as if some people are in it and out of it. It is service. The work of ministry. And that work of ministry is being enhanced by the teaching and the gifts that God has given to the body. And as they use their gifts, Christians are built up, brothers and sisters, so that all can be involved in the work of ministry, the work of service. The article is not in the Greek. It is the work of ministry. And everyone can be involved in the work of ministry, young and old, brother and sister. And in Christ is neither Jew nor Gentile, male nor female. That's the thought here. And so each one can be involved in service for the Lord. But how can they be involved? Well, they need to be built up. And Christ is doing that presently through the instrumentality of those he has given and who are here on the earth to encourage and strengthen and teach and build up the saints. And he does so with apostles, they're gone. Prophets, I think for the most part, I'm going to be wrong here, are gone. But certainly we have evangelists, and those are those men who are uniquely gifted with the gospel. Mm-hmm. And yes, they go out to the lost, but they also have, I believe, a function in equipping the saints to do the same. And pastors. Some people say, well, you know, so-called brethren don't have pastors. That's not true.
Amen.
There are many pastors. There are many shepherds among us. And we need to know who they are. And we need to encourage them. We need to support them and pray for them. And they need to be willing to and utilize their gift. And not just say, well, we don't have pastors, and therefore, you know, we cannot have that function. Shepherds need folks. And we need to encourage men to find out what their gifts are and to use them. Because God's people need to be shepherded. They need to have that function. We need to have that function among us. And not neglect it. We need to encourage it. And this is what Christ would have to do among us even to this hour.